Welcome to the N1 Podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Five for Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from my home office. We're still not back in the one building, but I'm excited for our talk today because I have two people with me, one in Raleigh and one in Dallas, that are working in the tech field. One is an alumni of the program and one has just started our online program this semester. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation about, obviously, in the situation that we're in, how we're using tech and how we're really adjusting to kind of this new world. Nadine Kupti is here. She is an IPS analyst for Red Hat and a graduate of the MBA corporate program. And Grady May is also here, and he is a project and program manager for Cisco, and he has just started our online program this semester. So Nadine and Grady, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Of course. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. So Nadine, I want to start with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into tech, specifically at Red Hat, and a little bit more about what you do day to day.
Sure. So like Jamie said, I am an alum of the program. I graduated in May of last year, 2019. I remember during my last semester in the program, that's when I started looking for jobs and applications. And I ran into an internship at Red Hat that was in their people team. And I have a background in HR and analytics. And I was very intrigued by the internship. It was mostly focused on change management. And it was an aspect of HR that I have never experienced. So I was very intrigued by it. I wanted to jump on board immediately. And at that time, Red Hat was in the news, heavily in the news, actually, because they were going through an acquisition with IBM. So it was just at the perfect timing to join Red Hat. And I absolutely loved my internship. And by the end of it, I got offered a full-time position with them. And I feel like it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. I feel right at home with them. They support all of the things that I'm very interested in. And they offer the initiatives that would help me grow and develop. And obviously it's a two-way relationship. I offer to them my analytical skills, my project management skills, obviously my HR background helped and supported. So I feel like it's been a wonderful journey with them. And I am just so glad that I made that decision back in May.
That's amazing. Thanks for that overview. So Grady, fill us in on you. So tell us about your path to Cisco.
Well, I've been at Cisco for, I guess it's been 5 years now. Been in IT for 25 years. Makes me feel old, but I started really young. I was 19, so do the math. And frankly, when I started in IT, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, neither of those guys finished college. And at first, I didn't finish college. I finished later. I was big on certifications and things like that. And I grew up just loving anything technology. I mean, the stereo system, Nintendo, whatever it was, a computer. I mean, computers, you guys are younger, so you don't remember, but I mean, computers weren't really popular until the early 90s for personal PC at home. And I just kind of gravitated in that field, got lucky, got an internship at GTE as a programmer, actually started my career as a programmer and just kept moving to different fields. I became an engineer at some point. I was that for about 8 years. And then I've been a project/program/account manager since about 2002. So I've just always loved the technical side of everything. It just excites me. So
Well, I think it's really interesting too, because of how quickly tech changes and how much your roles and job has probably changed. Because I remember the actual floppy disk and playing Oregon Trail, right? Yeah. And Number Munchers, yeah. And all those amazing games that I'm sure if we look at right now, we'd just laugh because they were just unbelievable in the early 80s. But now it's, you know, we've come so far. So I'm guessing you haven't been bored in what you've done with your career, because you're constantly having to learn and grow and adapt to new technology.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at first it was always about certifications, but even moving over to the project management side, almost everywhere that has a legitimate PMO, they require you to have the PMP, the project management professional certification, from PMI. So I do have that, and maintaining that has become more cumbersome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I obviously first want to check in with you both on how you're doing during this whole crazy time. So Nadine, fill me in on how you're doing and maybe how your work life has changed since this whole pandemic started.
Yeah, of course. Honestly, at first I feel very, very fortunate. With just how things turn out, how connected people are have been lately, my ability to work from home and continue doing my job. And, you know, I feel very fortunate that I have a home to be in and isolate and, you know, help flatten the curve and get us through this. Obviously, there was a lot of adjustment to it. Just out of nowhere, you get that email. Okay, next week, we're starting to officially work from home. No one can go to the office. And that was globally for everyone in the company. So it definitely required a lot of adjustment. But also, Red Hat, they do have their own work from home policies. They're very flexible on that. And it's not that I've never worked from home and picked a few days to work from home and not go to the office. But I think just the fact that this intense scenario that everyone's going through didn't make it easy. I had to just, you know, figure out my own work lifestyle and find that balance between my personal time and my work time. Because, you know, just working from home and then staying home after that, it feels like sometimes that time just tends to mix up together and you don't find that balance. So I think finding a balance is very important. And I had to just like figure that out early on. And I know everyone on my team did the same thing. And I'm sure everyone's going through a different journey, through this difficult time, trying to figure it out. And honestly, I commend everyone just seeing how everyone's dealing with it and how we're all just supporting each other. No matter how far away we are from each other physically, you still feel that connection. And to me, that's been just absolutely helpful to go through this with people and not feel like I am alone dealing with it on my own.
Absolutely. So how did you kind of come up with a good schedule for yourself or kind of set those work-life boundaries when you're not necessarily leaving work in your home?
Right. Honestly, just like starting either the week or the day, just setting time for yourself personally, saying, okay, my meetings start at 8. That's fine. You start your meetings. And then just having that thought in your mind by like 5:30, 6 o'clock, just shut off your laptop and go to the living room or just step away from your laptop and just put all your work stuff aside and not having them in visible range, because you will get tempted. And I noticed a few days, it's not like I've been following this procedure the entire time. I've had some days where I continued working after hours. But just calling that out ahead of time helps you stick to it. And obviously sharing that with your team and your manager and the people you work with, because I know there's a lot of parents out there. They are working from home with their kids and their partners. And sometimes one parent needs to take care of the kids for a short period of time and then to give the other one the time to do the work they need and have their meeting. So finding that balance and figuring out the time that you need to use for work is important. And it's even more important to share that with your manager and your team, just to have them support you as well, because it's not your journey alone. We're all going through this together.
Absolutely. And Grady, this is old hat to you. You've been working from home. You've been working remotely for a long time. Yeah. And you're also in our online program. So a lot of your world hasn't necessarily changed from the work or school standpoint. So I guess fill us in on, first of all, how are you doing? How's your family doing? And then obviously, what has changed for you? What have you had to adapt to during this time?
To be honest, for the most part, nothing has changed for me personally. I do have my wife and daughter at home. My daughter is in a performing arts program. So she does dance, and they were trying to keep it going online. So we gave her one of the stalls in the garage. We have a 3-car garage. She got one spot in the garage. But after a couple of weeks, it got too hot. So we had to move her into the living room. So, and she hates us coming out to watch. So like, I'm on one side of the house in my office, and my wife is in the bedroom working her desk. And so we just like periods of time from like 4:30 to 8:30 every day, we're stuck on this side of that. But I'll just walk out and be like, hey, I'm getting something. I don't adhere to that rule. But yeah, for the most part, it's been good. And I've only known one person personally, and I work with him. He's actually in Raleigh, in the RTP area, which was Cisco, that got COVID-19, but he's okay. He tested positive and he said it felt like a train hit him. But I'm thankful that being in the tech industry, tech can survive anything unless we just completely went offline one day, and then we're all kind of screwed then. But, I've been fortunate. Unfortunately, my customer is Disney, and I'm sure you've seen all of the people they've had to furlough. So even the people I work with in IT that support the parks, they started to furlough them as well. So it's been a little difficult to watch, but, it's things I've seen before, especially during the dot-com crash.
No, absolutely. And that's right. I had forgotten that you worked with Disney. So I'm sure that you've been kind of, it's probably a day-to-day change. They've been hit really, really hard. So, you make a great point, because I mean, obviously the platform we're using right now to talk and see each other is Cisco WebEx, which thank you, Cisco. And I will be the first to admit that, I kind of strayed away from, we've had access to WebEx and Zoom and other platforms for a long time, but I strayed away from them and would just pick up the phone because that was what I was used to or want to meet in person. And this has been great, given our circumstances, the fact that we can still connect and see people. So from a Cisco standpoint, have you guys been busier because of what's happening and more people are utilizing your platforms?
I think our WebEx team has been extremely busy because as of February this year, when China went on lockdown, essentially, or I forget what we're calling it, I went blank.
Quarantine. So,
quarantine, yeah, there you go, or stay at home,
whatever you want to call it.
So many different names for it. And so as of February, when they went on lockdown, our usage of WebEx in that region went up 20-fold. So it was just crushing the network. We were able to keep up, thankfully, because we don't just have WebEx. We have the full network infrastructure. And then as each region started to lock down, you could really see it increase. I think China had the largest increase. Very large country, but we've seen a huge, huge, I mean, daily emails about the usage. And, please start, internally, they asked us to start moving our meeting times to kind of 5 minutes off the hour, just to kind of take some of that peak load off of the infrastructure and just things like that. And I don't use video as much for larger meetings. So just little things we can do. But yeah, there were millions and millions, because Cisco is actually giving it away for free right now until this is over. And then another thing they're doing is actually allowing you to pay your bill, I guess, end of this year or next year, but continue. Obviously, we don't want customers to go away.
But how supported people and customers must feel that they have that option and opportunity. to not be charged right now. And I think that that speaks volumes. You know, so many organizations, you're going to be able to tell a lot about them on the way that they're handling this current situation, and the fact that you have people and organizations like Cisco that are really there to support, I think, is amazing. So going back to this online platform, obviously this is new for a lot of people. So they've had to adjust, kind of like Nadine was saying, try to come up with some sort of structure and some sort of boundaries between what is home and what is work. So how have you done that? And I know that you've been working remotely for a long time, but you know, how did you really adjust to that? And what are some tips that you might have for people that this is brand spanking new and they're trying to figure it out and navigate it on their own right now?
Well, I do have to say, I feel sorry for people that were thrown into the situation, especially those that are very outgoing and need to see people. Like my wife is ready to go back to work. Me, I'm good. But you know, it's tough because there have been days throughout I've worked from home for most of the last 15 years. So it's tough because on a slow day, if you don't have a lot of meetings and you have stuff that's not due that day, there's so many temptations. You've got Netflix, you've got your PlayStation or Xbox, you've got TV, you've got everything. And there's so many things you could do except for work. And really, it's about focus. I can't look at the big pile of work I have. I have to just say, you know what? I'm going to work for this amount of time, but I'm going to do something for myself for a few minutes. And then I'd say if it gets loud in the house or you have other things going on, for me, music helps, but mostly like classical music. Because anything that you enjoy too much or has words, it tends to distract me. So I mean, classical is not my favorite, but it's just mostly piano. So
you have that going on in the background when you're working?
I'll usually listen to my headphones so I don't disturb anybody else, but yeah.
Okay. So Nadine, I know that Red Hat has really focused on well-being and wellness, and I think that's another thing that a lot of great companies are doing right now. Again, because Grady, as you said, a lot of people were thrown into this without much time for preparation. So in terms of wellness, tell us a little bit about the group that you're a part of. And I know that you're leading a team on the well-being side.
Yeah. I mean, obviously for Red Hat, it's a priority to take care of its associates, you know, all Red Hatters across the globe. And obviously there's no tip or anything that could be given that could fit everyone. There's a lot of factors contributing to what each person is going through, whether it's their personal situation or their professional situation. And we've been focused on providing lots of communications to everybody across the globe, all Red Hatters across the globe, to guide them through this, for us to work through this together. The company has been doing a lot of great enablement sessions. That would be like a bi-weekly meeting where everyone connects and we just discuss the updates, any policy changes, any recommendations and tips, and just have them answer all of our questions. So that's been absolutely helpful. And we've been also working on lots of communications to share well-being tips with everyone and recommendations. And that usually for us goes on a weekly basis. And it's focused on, you know, interaction and engagement, having Red Hatters share their ideas and their tips, their situations, what they're doing to accommodate for working from home, for dealing with this entire situation and living through it, for taking care of their kids and their spouse and partners. So it's been an absolute joy, and it's been so eye-opening to see what are the things that you need to consider to relate to others that are not necessarily living the same life as you are or the going through the same situation as you are. We've been focused mostly on physical well-being, emotional well-being, spiritual, mental, and even financial. So this initiative took a lot of collaboration with a lot of people across different teams. And with Red Hat, we're big on collaboration. So if you reach out to someone and tell them, hey, we have this initiative going on, they will jump on board immediately. So it's been just so eye-opening, and just I've been learning a lot from it. You know, for us, we've been preaching a lot about staying connected to people and communicate with others. And sometimes even just communication might be a bit too much too. So there, you need to find that balance, you know. Sometimes being in a video conference for an hour will take a lot of your energy because you're trying to stay focused and trying to stay engaged and not multitask and check out your email in the meantime while someone is speaking. So I remember like during the first week of this working from home, I was exhausted the entire time and I was just worried. I'm like, why am I so tired? And it's because we spent so much time and so many hours in virtual meetings, realizing that it's taking a lot of my energy, and you need to be cautious and aware that you might want to schedule an hour meeting, but it could be a conversation that just you'll be done with it in 30 minutes. So just being aware of your personal well-being and others around you. It's not just, you know, it's also promoting taking breaks, more breaks. Some people find it difficult to take breaks because you're stuck behind your laptop and you just stay in one place for so long. So promoting that as well has been very important for us. You know, staying in nature, connecting with nature, being outside, it's so therapeutic. Do that. Don't just keep yourself sitting in one spot. Also, just like, you know, taking advantage of just some good management and facilitation tips, you know, facilitating meetings in certain ways to help you get to the point as quickly as possible without spending time talking for an hour and not getting to the point. So it could be easy for you to just send an agenda ahead of time, you know, have everyone ready the second you start that meeting. That way you just don't waste their time and don't waste their energy. So there's a lot of things to consider and a lot of tips to follow. But most importantly is just us connecting with each other and sharing each the experiences that we're going through, and obviously acknowledging the situation, acknowledging our emotions and our feelings will help you work towards where you want to be and who you envision yourself to be. So yeah, it's been quite interesting. A lot of tips, a lot of healthy and meditation and mindfulness sessions that we've been doing, virtual mindfulness sessions. We actually have one today at 3:00 and I'm very excited for it.
I love that. Well, I think it's huge to have that focus, but I think too, it's really interesting that these types of conversations have now come to the forefront. And you're checking on each other and everybody's kind of handling this a little bit differently. And I think it's really interesting that I feel like we're all getting closer almost as teams, because where you would typically just walk in and start a meeting, now we're saying, how are you? How's everybody? How's your family? And that's not something that we would do on a day-to-day basis before. And it'll be interesting to see how that continues once this is over. But you made a good point about the fatigue of the virtual meetings. I actually read an article about it yesterday, and it made me laugh a little bit because it was like, do you feel drained? Do you feel exhausted? And it's just, you know, it talks about, you know, just the eye motion of going back and forth between the screens and how your body is, you can't read the body language as much. So your brain's working overtime. And you know, you just get tired. And I was like, oh my gosh, like now what, you know? So that's really interesting that that's something that Red Hat is really making a part of this well-being piece to know, to kind of be more efficient and switch it up a little bit, but also it's okay to take some time for yourself if you need that time.
Right. And honestly, we've been even more active in just connecting for the sake of just checking up on each other. My team has been having those like meetings, let's say either like weekly meetings once a week or sometimes even daily. We just connect with each other and just ask each other, hey, how are you doing? How are you dealing with this? It doesn't have to be, you know, for the sake of talking about work, but checking up on each other. And honestly, I remember like that first week I was absolutely just exhausted the entire time until someone brought up this idea that, hey, you're investing a lot of your energy into these meetings. So it's important to find that good balance between pausing and taking time for yourself and obviously being in meetings. So it's just, it's this funny area that you need to find, because you obviously need to connect with people, check up on them. But at the same time, you need time to just pause for a little bit and take it all in.
Absolutely. So Grady, talk to me from your standpoint on the wellness side of things and just this fatigue in general, because you're used to having these meetings remotely, and then you stop working and then you jump on to school and you're, sitting in a classroom at night from 6 to 8:45, again, taking this all in remotely. So how have you managed this, and what is the wellness piece for you? What works for you?
I'd say just to address Cisco to start with, they're very similar to what Nadine was describing. They've been supportive. We have the weekly company meetings. Our CEO will get on and talk to us. And he's a very down-to-earth guy. And his granddaughter ran in on one of his meetings. And he's just, hey, family first is what he keeps saying. So I appreciate that. For me, I'm just so used to being at home. Like, I'll spend my time on my computer, even if I'm not on my computer, because I do the video editing and stuff on the side. And, my friends have a little more time now, and nobody's waking up at 5 a.m. to go work out. So we're all playing Call of Duty or Fortnite at night for like 2 or 3 hours. And frankly, too late some nights. I think we were up until 1 a.m. on Sunday night playing.
Hey, if that's your release and it brings you joy, I'm all about it.
It's good. Yes, grown men. We're all grown men.
Nobody's judging. But so how has that worked for you then going into the classroom?
It's really not any different, because again, it's on Cisco WebEx. I think our teacher was having issues. She didn't have great connectivity, so she switched to Zoom. But still, it wasn't.
Where, did you raise your hand and say, excuse me, I'm an expert here?
I think she had a pretty slow connection at home. So she would turn her video off so we could just see what she was presenting. And it's been fine, because frankly, I'm conditioned really to, I mean, it's funny to hear people talk about being drained from the meetings, because I guess after 15 years, I'm just used to sitting here all day.
Right. Well, you're conditioned to do it. I mean, this is what you're used to, and this is what you choose to do too, which is really interesting, because I'm sure you could have chosen an MBA program definitely closer to home, but I'm glad you chose us. So to that point, I guess, why did you choose Clemson? I've never asked you this. Why did you choose Clemson MBA, and are you happy with your decision?
Well, first of all, yes, I am happy. Second of all, I took one of the criteria on my list was not having to take the GMAT. Clemson offers a GMAT waiver. So what I did was I started with a list of schools I wanted to go to. And of course, I looked at pricing for Harvard. I knew I wouldn't get in there just to see what it was. It was really high, by the way. And I also wanted to keep it within a price range, because my company does pay for the MBA, but within reason. I think they offer a certain fixed amount each year. I've talked to my boss, and we're going to try to get it all paid for. But if I was going to foot the bill for the rest, I wanted to keep it reasonable. So, there was a waiver offered for the GMAT based on years of experience and GPA for undergrad. So I had that. And then pricing was reasonable. And then the hours weren't crazy. I think it's 49 hours to graduate, whereas that's about average. Some were 51, 52. So that was good. And really, having the GMAT waiver knocked out quite a few schools, and so it came down to like Clemson and Syracuse. But I went for Clemson first, and then I didn't bother finishing the Syracuse application.
Well, that's wonderful. I had the pleasure of having you in class this semester, so that's been a real treat for me. And like you said, you do the video editing on the side. I just have to give you a little hooray, because It would be amazing when you guys would submit your assignments and Grady would have like 2 and 3 camera angles. And it was very engaging and you definitely went above and beyond and took the time. But you can tell with the online program, those that really have backgrounds and the affinity and love for tech, because I'm sure that was fun for you to do. Whereas some people would be like, oh gosh, all I can do is like hit the red button to hopefully record, right?
I'm sure you got a few not so great iPhone videos.
So Nadine, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, and I was just going to say I was frankly surprised that some people that were struggling to use WebEx. I was like, I feel like I'm okay.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, you know, the fact that you've lived it for 15 years plus, really. Has been such a benefit to for the other students too, to have you as almost, you know, somebody that can help them through this process a little bit too, which has been great. So Nadine, fill us in on your MBA experience and how your MBA has helped you in your career and just on the resilience side of what's going on right now.
Oh goodness. My experience was absolutely full. I came in with full force, was just engaged the entire time. I feel like my experience has just been so rich, was so rich in the MBA program. So I graduated from Clemson with my undergrad in management. I managed to work for a year at a staffing agency in Greenville. And then after that, I decided to get my MBA. Coming into the MBA program, I had a different vision than starting Clemson as an undergrad. I wanted to be more engaged. I wanted my experience to be more impactful and, you know, not just get out of the program with the degree itself, but with experience, with knowledge, with certifications, with stories to tell and experiences to share. And I absolutely loved it. I worked with Jamie. I was the Clemson MBA Alumni Engagement Manager, and that experience was absolutely wonderful. I worked really hard on putting myself out there and network with people and connect with people. And at first, it was very uncomfortable. I remember my first networking night. I was a bit nervous, I'm not going to lie. But then you get used to it and you meet so many great people, people who went through the program, people from the Greenville area, and just hearing their stories and connecting their stories to mine and, you know, just take away something from that conversation helped me shape my vision for my future and helped me realize what I want to do and the career that I want to pursue. So honestly, just my experience was so rich. I have so many great stories to tell, and I have absolutely no regrets. I'm just so proud of my experience there, and I'd love to continue sharing those with you guys.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned networking, and you guys know I'm missing networking. I'm missing seeing you guys, first of all, but the networking piece is something that I love personally, too. And it'll be interesting to see going forward how networking events change or what we're going to need to do to kind of adapt, you know, given our current circumstances. But it was really interesting. I had somebody reach out to me on LinkedIn, and you know, you guys both know I tell our students to do this all the time, is just reach out to people and ask them for a phone call or if they're local to meet you for coffee and pick their brain about their career. And I had somebody reach out and they're like, it's like, I've never met him before. Never even, you know, no connection whatsoever. And we did a Zoom meeting the other day and it was so fun because he's not an MBA alum. He's a Clemson alum, which is, I guess, how he found me. But it was really interesting and it was really cool to think this is a really interesting time to be able to connect with people using these types of platforms, even people that you may have never met before. And to that end, I guess my point in saying all this is I read another article today about the NFL draft, which happened recently, and they were making a point to say it was really interesting that these owners and coaches all had their families at the table with them, or their dog, or, you know, you saw into their homes. So you were feeling like you got to know them a little bit more personally. And I think we're all kind of doing that now that we're having these types of connections and we're all at home. So you're seeing people's, like you said, Grady, I mean, I can't tell you how many times my kids crash my meetings. And I am not like the guy in the BBC thing from a couple of years ago that's like, no, no, get out of here. I'm like, come on in, like, introduce yourself, like, meet so-and-so. You know, and now I think they think they're supposed to be in the meetings, which has been really fun. So, anyway, with that, with all that being said, what are your thoughts on the world of work changing going forward?
That's a me or it's a needy?
Either.
Personally, I
love both of your thoughts.
You know, we've seen, like you said, technology has changed just immensely over the years. It seems to, you know, we invent one thing that speeds things up tenfold, and it's just exponentially growing faster and faster. And I think with this, it's going to make a lot of people think twice about what they do. I don't think we're going to go from where we were to 100% work from home, but I do think that you'll start to see new policies and procedures and a way of life. I mean, are people still going to shake hands or are they going to bump elbows? I mean, there's just these little nuances that I think we'll see start to take place and happen over the next few years.
Absolutely. How about you, Nadine?
I definitely agree. And I think it's so great. I see a lot of just good in how technology is going to help. It's already helping us stay connected. And I love the fact that you get to see people in their homes. I feel like it's so intimate because even for me, just commuting from my place to work, that 20 minutes, it gets me in the zone to be Nadine at work, and people see a part of me at work. But then meeting with people from home, you see them in their true selves, you know, in their true essence. And you see their kids around them, their pets, their cats jumping on the desk. And I love that. It makes you more connected to people. And you start realizing sometimes the things that we do without thinking, and they're so important to us that maybe we can do them differently, you know, instead of just cramming so many people in a building to be productive. Maybe that's not the way to work. Maybe this is the future of working. I don't know. I just feel like I absolutely appreciate the connection that I'm having with people and truly getting to know them for who they are. And I feel like I've met so many people at work and I only knew them as through their work personality. But now we've been more connected at a personal level that it's been just absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of my favorite people that has several TED Talks, Margaret Heffernan, she has a TED Talk that focuses on, instead of technology and efficiency, human skills like imagination and bravery are what we really need during tough times. So both of you working in tech, how does that resonate with you?
I would agree. I mean, we've got to think about how we're going to approach the future. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of places weren't ready for this. And who's going to mention that it's been over 100 years since our last pandemic, we're just going to have this happen to us. And frankly, I was surprised given our advancements over the last 100 years in every aspect of society. I was surprised to see it. So yeah, I do think we need some creativity and some thinking outside the box. And it doesn't mean we're all going to wear masks and bubble and be in a bubble and never touch each other again. You know, I want to see Clemson play some football again, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll see. I'm not sure about that one this year. I know everybody's a little concerned about that.
I agree. And honestly, I feel like it does take a lot of creativity and bravery for us to get through this. Lately, with my team, we've been talking a lot about being brave and what it takes for you to share what you're going through and acknowledging your feelings and even just changing your expectations. Lately, we've been giving each other more of this benefit of the doubt, as connected as we are. People are going through this differently, and just allowing them to process and allowing them to be their best version of themselves and creating that space.
Important.
It's not just about productivity and accomplishing what you need to accomplish. Obviously, that's very important. We need to keep working. But just allowing for that flexibility will help you deal with it, with everything, expectations of yourself and people around you. It kind of needs to be adjusted just a little.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate this conversation so much. And Nadine, I appreciate you sharing what you guys are doing from a wellness standpoint and just the connectivity and staying connected with your team. And Grady, you're making us all feel very, very comfortable that the fact that you've been doing this remote work for so long and you are the true expert in remote work and school, that it gives us hope too, that we're all going to adjust to this at some point. But to Nadine's point, it's finding out what works for you and really I love the part about giving some slack to your teammates, because you don't know what everybody else is going through. And some people are having a really hard time right now. And it's good to just err on the side of kindness, right, at this point in time. So before I let you go, I always like to ask, because so many people are going through tough times right now, and erring on the side of positivity, which is what I try to do, is what has brought you joy? Like, what has like shockingly brought you joy during this time? Because it's like, we're all stuck inside. And I'll just give an example. Like the other night, Josh Gad, who is Olaf in Frozen, he had a Goonies reunion. Brought everybody together and had this reunion of the original Goonies cast. All this like live music of bands and artists performing, you know, doing these kind of live get-togethers, which I think has brought me a lot of joy. So those are just a couple examples just to lead you a little bit. I think one of Grady's, I'm not going to speak for you, is video games, but Nadine, get us started. What's bringing you joy?
Honestly, for me, I absolutely loved the Office reunion. It happened maybe a few weeks ago. It was funny and witty, and I absolutely loved it. The second thing is my connection to my friends and family. I feel like if I'm not home, if I'm away from my parents' house, we are constantly on the phone. We're talking, we FaceTime. My parents love group FaceTime, so we have more than one person on the call, and it's been wonderful just knowing that, you know, no one's alone. We're all in this together.
Aw, that's so sweet. Grady, how about you?
Well, Jamie, you're correct. Games has won. Things made me happy. The other thing, sadly, is that all of the workout facilities closed down, so my friend would like me to go every week. We'd go 3 or 4 times a week, and I worked out at Orange Theory Fitness, and they closed down. Oh, what a shame. I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. So, I mean, but, you know, it's been nice to have the whole family home all the time.
Yeah.
My wife and daughter tend to go at it a little bit, but it's still nice to be with them all the time. So.
Absolutely. So you're not missing your 5 a.m. workouts. It's bringing you joy to sleep in.
But you've heard of the freshman 15. I think I've gained the COVID-19. So I need to go back.
I know. Oh, believe me. I think we're all there. There's something about the snacks, right? Like, like everybody, I'm right there with you, Grady. It'll be okay. We're all in this together. Well, thank you both so much for your time today. It was so great to hear more from you, and I appreciate you sharing what's going on in your world with our listeners. And, you know, Nadine, as an alum, it's always great to have you back. And Grady, we wish you all the best as you continue in the program, and I'm looking forward to keeping you engaged as well. So to all of our listeners, stay well, be safe. And we'll catch you next time. Have a magical day.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu /MBA/podcast.